Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3. 2 Timothy, chapter 3. I'm glad to have Wanda Gibson, visitor with us today. God bless you, sister, for being with us. Amen. Talk today about perilous times. I know that you know that we are in perilous times, but the Bible does address that, and so we want to just let the Word of God talk to us today. And so the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1, let's notice the scriptures. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, or rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Father, I thank you, Lord, today for your presence. Oh God, we're so blessed to have your presence and your Holy Spirit. I pray, God, you'd bless and anoint the scriptures, the Word of God. I pray that you'd talk to the heart and the soul of every person as only you can do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Perilous times are upon us. I do believe that. And you can say, well, you can say that about any age. Yes, there have been perilous times in every age, but I believe that as we near the coming of the Lord, that they are perilous. And things are not the same today. They may seem the same, but so many things and so many people seem out of control today. You know, one of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace, one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And that's the fruit of the Spirit that we need to ask God to help us. Man. Anybody ever been out of control? Amen. 100%. Somewhere. But to be in control, let God mainly to be in control, instead of letting self be in control. But some things are happening today. The threat of World War III is upon us. I'm not predicting that by any means, but it could happen. So, church, we'd better start living close to God. There's never any reason not to live close to Him, but yet we need to be close to God. Because nation against nation, wars and pestilence and famine, these times of things consider the end time. And the writer here said that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And the word last days is a broad term in the New Testament, broad enough where one could say that the last days began on the day of Pentecost when the church was born. Amen. And where the Peter prophesied and quoted out of Joel, says, it shall come to pass in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And I've had people ask me, do you think there will be another outpouring of the Spirit before Jesus comes? Let me tell you something. It started on the day of Pentecost, and wherever people have been open to the work of God and the will of God, God's Spirit will be poured, and it has been poured out and will continue to be poured out where there's people that are hungry. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Hallelujah. And so that's one mark of the last days, the Holy Spirit will be poured out. And we know that was fulfilled or began to be fulfilled on the day of Pentecost on this generation. But let's look first of all at dangerous times. And dangerous times, perilous times, will come upon us because an unnatural and ungodly things happen. And I know there's been ungodly things happen ever since time, ever since the Garden of Eden, as if sin first came. But there's perilous times will mark the last days. And we can say last days, and you say, well, I've heard that all my life. We're at the end of the end times. Well, I've heard that all my life too, but I still believe that Jesus might come today. We're supposed to be looking for him. Amen. You're not going to predict when he's going to come, but we're to be looking for him no matter when he comes. Praise the Lord. And I believe he has a time set and a day when he will return, and he alone knows that. But dangerous times because of unnatural things and ungodly things. And we haven't seen it as much in our country as we have in other countries. But there are very ungodly things and places in our own country here where that evil is being promoted and evil is being done. And there have been things that you believe, news that you can't believe or don't want to believe, that people could be that cruel and unkind. But I want to tell you, in our own times, in our own streets here, there's times of stress coming, being pulled in every direction, belief systems of every kind that pull at the spiritually unstable people. And I want to tell you something, friend, when people hear something long enough, and many hear the same lie long enough, they begin to believe that it's true. And so that's how cults get started, or false religions get started, because one person surely that claims to be a little closer to God than everybody else, and he begins to preach his own gospel, and they begin to believe in him as the work of, as the mind of God or the voice of God. And if it's a cult, it's not the voice of God. But yet, people begin to believe that. And so you can be pulled in any direction. But dangerous times, perilous times are upon us. And so things are not as good as they used to be. They're unstable. And I am told that sometimes school teachers have so many requirements, so many papers to fill out, that they don't have time to teach the students. And that's not God's fault. That's man's fault. And there's many other things that are just dangerous in our times. But we must see in these last days, we must know what we believe and know where we stand. Because you see, the enemy is going to try to undermine your belief and say to you, if God is really up there, why is he letting this or that happen? If God is really true, why does he let people that are good people suffer? And you can ask all kinds of questions all day long, but I want to tell you, not every answer question will be answered until the time we see God and we stand before him or fall before his feet. And I believe that the day that we're raptured into heaven, we'll just fall at his feet and cry holy and say, God, I believe you did everything 100% right because you're God. And he did. I don't understand why bad things happen sometimes to seemingly people that don't need it to happen to them, but I don't know anybody that doesn't, that needs bad things to happen to them. But last days and perilous times, I heard over the news just very recently, where kindergartens are in a particular public school are being taught to accept transgender things. And so that is considered a perilous time, where people are no longer taught right from wrong, and where people are, where right and wrong is just what I decide it to be. That's humanism. That's wrong. You know, what's right and wrong? God says what's right and wrong in his word. We don't have any excuse. We've got a Bible everywhere. Amen. We can read it. We can know what God doesn't like it. And it's wrong. Okay. And so perilous times here, let's break that word down just a moment. It is a word used in classical Greek both of dangerous wild animals and of a raging sea. Okay? And that term is used one other place in the New Testament, calls when Jesus met, or a man met Jesus that was in the tombs in the land of Gadara, and he was a demoniac. And so perilous, yes. And in that story in the book of Mark chapter 5, we find that Jesus came to the shores and there was a man met him there who was a man that other you and I wouldn't want to be around if you didn't have Jesus with you. He was day and night crying and cutting himself with stones. He had been bound by shackles many times, but he had broke them loose. And he was a wild man. And he was demon-possessed. And he was his work. His time was perilous. To other people around, nobody wanted to be around him because they were scared of him. Because the demonic spirits in him caused him to have supernatural power to break chains that he was bound with. And he was all time in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones, doing unnatural things. Times were perilous for him. But we read, as when he came to Jesus, the demon spoke out and Jesus said, "What is your name?" And the demon spoke back and said, "Our name is Legion, for we are many." And so they asked Jesus permission that they could go and infest this herd of swine, hogs. And Jesus said, go. And they went. And the hogs wouldn't have anything to do with the legion, so they run off into the sea and drowned. I don't know if it was suicide or not, but anyway, they drowned in the sea. Because you see, perilous times were there. Times where people were threatened by various things, and we're threatened today. But I want to tell you, the Jesus that we serve is not threatened. He's not worried about anything. He's not wondered if he has the power to do this, that, or the other. We serve a God that's all-powerful, all-knowing, almighty, and always present. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus said, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. He will not stop. He will be with us always. So dangerous times are upon us. Ungodly times, unnatural things that people go after. And we could go on that for a long time. I won't, but second of all, sinful, ungodly times that we live in. Notice in these verses 2 through 4, the word lovers is mentioned four times. Men will be lovers of themselves and lovers of money. And in verse 4 says, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And so sinful, ungodly times are upon us. And bad people is speaking here. Note that we should, the hardness or danger of this time in Paul's view to be not war or famine or disease nor any other of the calamity or the ills that befall the body, but wicked and depraved people is what he's speaking about here. As he describes in these verses 2 through 4, we find that there's all kinds of description here of ungodly people, bad people. But the wicked and depraved ways of men is what Paul is speaking of here in Scripture. They'll be lovers of money. They'll be boasters. They'll be proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Have you ever seen such a rebellion against God-ordained authority today? There is. Unthankful, unholy, unloving. Amen. When's the last time you've been thankful? Unforgiving. Slanderers without self-control. I've seen people, plenty of people without self-control. Brutal, despisers of good. There's all kinds of things here. We could go through each one of these. I won't. I'll just read them. Traitors, headstrong, haughty. You ever seen somebody that was haughty? They were mean and they're just proud of it. They like to brag on how foolish and how stupid they are. I didn't say that, did I? Yes, I did. It's recorded. And so, traitors, headstrong, people who think they know more than everybody else. And so let's look at this for just a moment. We are seeing wickedness before our eyes in the Ukraine, and I'm not going to preach all on the Ukraine today. You've heard it all week. But we've heard of the ungodly treatment of kids and mothers and sick people and disabled people, the hungry and the sick, of a godless regime that has no value for human life. We've seen that happen in this country. You see, people are wicked. In the last days, wicked men will grow worse and worse. There's one day that Jesus has to come, and the only way that the problems of this world is going to be solved is not with a new human government of some kind, but when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords descends and sets up his kingdom of peace upon this earth. That's the only time there will really be peace. And that doesn't mean we don't need to pray for the peace of people right now. We do. The Bible tells us to. But yet, only perfect peace is when the Prince of Peace comes. So we see these things happening. And you know, people that are evil like this, like I've just mentioned, the regime that's trying this invaded Ukraine, when the ungodly people die and wake up in hell, they're going to know exactly why they're there. And they will live or die forever in an ungodly, in a hell where there is no peace and no hope and no love or ever a kind word ever spoken in hell. It will be total separation from God, who is love, hope, and peace and joy. You don't want to go to hell. You want to go to heaven. And see, we see here in the Scripture, as lovers is mentioned many times here, people in love with everything today but God. My friend, we need to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, all of our mind, all our strength, all that's within you. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Praise the Lord. And see, people will be characterized as lovers of themselves in these perilous times. lovers of themselves, a selfish, self-centered life, if Jesus had come here and been self-centered, no one today would be saved. If Jesus came with the idea of what can I get out of this, or how can I fool all these people and come become some celebrity in their sight, no, Jesus came and all he did was give of himself continually. He healed the sick. He made the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to walk. He did all these things. And he did not to bring attention to himself, but all that people would see that God had sent his Son into this world, that he was not only the Son of man, but the Son of God as well. It was God reaching down to humanity. And so people in love with everything but God. But you see, the Bible tells us in Psalm 7:11, God is a just judge. And God is angry with the wicked every day. You're saying, why does God let things happen? God is merciful, much more merciful than you and I, allows people space to repent. And I don't know why God puts up with some things, and I'm not here to instruct God on what he ought to do. He's never asked me one time what I thought he ought to do. He's God. He knows everything. Our part is to trust him no matter what. And God is a just judge. And God is a God of love and hope. Yes, he is. And we hear that preached a lot of times. God is a God of love. God was, he loves you so much he wouldn't let anything happen to you. But God is just also. That means he's pure. That means he's holy. And nothing escapes his all-seeing eye. Amen. And God's not here to get even with somebody. God doesn't have anything to get even with. Amen. Or anybody to get even with. God came to give grace and hope to a world that would be lost otherwise. He owed us nothing, but he gave everything. Praise the Lord. The word lovers here is used in this passage four times. Lovers of money, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. And it says here, lovers of money. And there are some that love money. And it's all right to have money. It's not wrong to be rich. It's not wrong to have plenty. It's wrong to be in love with it. If you lose it all, you're still in love with Jesus. And if you have it, you're helping people that need to get to know Jesus. Praise the Lord. Lovers of money. And the list goes on there in verses 2 and 3 and 4. It tells us there's lovers of all kinds of things. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You know, we live in a world that's pleasure mad. If you buy this, or get that, you get a free trip to nowhere. Amen. You know, you get to go to the Bahamas for 5 days and all your trip is paid except for the flight ticket there and back. All kinds of promises are made. Amen. And the question today is, who or what are we in love with today? Who can save you from this pleasure-mad, self-centered world? Only Jesus. My friend, there's some good news for you. Praise the Lord. I know we focused here upon things and ungodly things that are happening here. It's named in Scripture. It needs to be preached to us. But I want to tell you some good news. Throughout God's Word, we're taught to show love, compassion for the widow, the fatherless, and the stranger. Amen. And there's good for the godly people. Amen. God has something good for you and I. The Bible says, Psalms 1, blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree, believer, like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Its leaves shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. I want to tell you, God has got good news for you. You're on your way to an eternal heaven. You're on your way to a God that loves and cares and understands. He's not going to quit. He's not going to give up. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you regardless of whatever happens in your life. He's a true, mighty, powerful, righteous, holy God. He's your Savior, your Lord, your King. Hallelujah. And so, we need God, and God is love, that's right. God is just also and holy. God is still forever good. Let us be in love with our Savior today, the one who died that we might live, that we might have eternal hope, eternal grace, eternal peace, eternal love. Whatever God has is eternal. He will eternally love you. He will eternally give you peace. He will eternally give you hope. Amen. And so the Bible tells us to be in love with Jesus. 1 John 2:15 says, "Do not love the world, nor the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." That's a very strong statement. If we're in love with sinful things, it says the love of God is not in you. And we want God's love in us. That does not mean we don't enjoy life. I remember, you know, when people were so legalistic about everything that anything was fun or enjoyable was sin. It's not true. But we don't need to be so in love with things of this world that we forget God and begin to put God off, begin to skip church, skip worship, skip reading our Bible, skip praying. Amen. And find after a while all you're doing is skipping through life with no hope. But love not the world, but love God. The world here means the sinful pleasures and pursuits of this age. Don't love the world. And so here we find the opposite of the godly. Verses 2 and 4 says that. I've read it to you already. And it says that people in the last days, the perilous times, they will have a form of godliness, but denying its power. And it says, from such people turn away. I was asked one day, some Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons came to my church, and my son was there, and they didn't know who I was. They just come knocked on the door, and I said, we're here to you. We'll talk to you. I said, okay. So I knew what they were. I said, come in. Usually don't do that, but I did, because they didn't know who I was. And one of them said to me, do you consider yourself a religious man? I said, yeah, sort of. And my son was sitting, not very hit, he lost it. He said, that guy doesn't know that he's talking to a preacher, you know. And he said, well, can I share with you what I believe? I said, yes, you can share with me what you believe if you will let me share with you what I believe. And so he gave me the Mormon thing and all that goes with it. And then I began to share with him. He said, do you believe there's modern day prophets? I said, I believe from Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. I said, I believe in those prophets. It's Old Testament. And so he said, but do you believe there's any modern day prophets? I said, God can use these prophets to speak modern day things to us. And I said, yes, I believe that God sometimes does use people. But I told him, I don't believe that, I don't believe Brigham Young was a prophet. That's one of their guys. Whatever the guy's name is. And so we had a conversation there, and we got through, and he said, and I shared with him what I believed about salvation, about eternal life. And he said, well, we need to leave. I said, can we pray? I said, okay. He said, will you pray? I said, yes, I'll pray. And so I prayed for him, and they left. And so it didn't turn into a wild shouting match of any kind, but they shared what they believed, and I shared what I believe. And I believe the truth pierces people's hearts. Praise God. They had a form of godliness, but they didn't have any power. They had a religion, but they didn't have Jesus. But in our self-obsessed world, people feel very free to have a salad bar religion where you just pick and choose what you want. And they feel free to be very spiritual, but sense no obligation to be biblical. Let me tell you something. The truth is what makes people free. Hallelujah. And so we need to have the truth planted within us continually. And so in the perilous times that we live in, people are going to be against the book, be against the Bible. And people are going to say things against it. And people are going to even explore the Bible to try to find contradictions in it. There's not any, but they try to find some. And if you really want to, you can take this book and try to make anything out of it you want to try to make out of it. But it's still the Word of God, infallible, inspired Word of God. It's God's Word to us today. And it's not God's will for us to twist Scripture to fit our own beliefs. It's God's will that we form our beliefs from Scripture and truth instead of trying to make Scripture fit what we already believe. Amen. We form our beliefs from this Word. Amen. And so, just give me what I want. And I don't want to stand biblically behind it, but that's just give me what I want. That's what the cry of the perilous times is today. I heard of a church not too long ago, a church where couples were encouraged to, during the worship service, sing in choruses, And they said, well, you're supposed to dance in the Spirit. So they said, just get out and find you a partner and dance. You know, don't dance with your own companion. Just dance with somebody else while we sing worship courses. That didn't turn out too good. The divorce and remarriage rate in that church, it was a big church, went up sky high. Because you see, we're in perilous times and people are doing stupid, foolish things that are not biblical at all. Because the Bible does say, thou shalt not commit adultery. Amen. And the 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. And men turn away from false teachings, teachings that take you away from the cross, the blood, and the Holy Spirit, and take you away from a sanctified life. That doesn't mean you don't go to church anywhere, you don't believe anything, or you don't listen to anybody. It doesn't mean that at all. It means you keep your eyes focused on what Jesus done for you. We live in this world, amen, and we live our Christian life in this world, and we don't try to avoid people, and Jesus didn't avoid people. Jesus preached and talked to sinners. He associated with sinners. He didn't associate with their sins, and he didn't commit their sins. He never committed one sin, but he talked with them and said, you need God. He talked to them about the truth, and people were set free, and powerful evangelism worked there, praise the Lord, because they heard the truth. You say, well, that was Jesus speaking. Yes, right. You and I are born again of God's Spirit. We're the share of the light of Christ. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. He didn't say stay away from the world completely. Yes, he did say to stay away from sinful places and things that are going to destroy you. But he said, let your light shine in this world, wherever you work and wherever you're at. Let the light of Christ shine. Don't be afraid to stand up for the truth. God will help you. Amen. Perilous times, but we serve a God who's powerful and mighty and will lead you in the direction that he wants you to go, because God loves you and God cares for you, and it's God's will for you to make it and to continue on until you're in heaven with him. Praise the Lord.